Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And it is a great word today. That's all I can say. It is a great word today. When I got up to study, all I could think of was everlasting God, which comes from the scripture we're coming from this morning, which is Psalms 27:1. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When the Lord is our light and our salvation, whom shall we fear? Even in the Old Testament, David was speaking of Jesus. He was speaking of Jesus. Our salvation comes from his sacrifice. Not my sacrifice, not your sacrifice, but his sacrifice. Dying on Calvary's cross for us. The Lord is my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God. I am just grateful today to be a servant. Excuse me. Grateful today to be blessed beyond measure. Grateful today to be a child of God. You know, the enemy likes to sneak in and try to cause confusion and, oh, this happened and that happened. We got to get out of all it, shake it off, and move forward. We get so caught up in what he says, she said, that we forget to do what God says. You know, I love the fact that we are trying our best to live right, do right, be right. Keep this little powerful tongue behind our teeth. If more of us kept our tongue behind our teeth and didn't just blurt out everything that came to mind, we would have a much better society and a much better life. If we didn't always think this person's trying to take something from me, nobody's trying to take anything from anybody else. Everybody did what they were supposed to do. We would have a world and a planet that would be awesome. But instead, we have this one trying to take from that one, this one thinking that one's trying to take from them, when that one is just trying to survive. And all the confusion comes from the enemy. We need to start putting the enemy in its place and say, I'm not going to get mad at my sister. I'm not going to get mad at my brother. I'm not mad at my mother or my father. I'm not mad at my cousin or my cousin's friend. I'm not even mad at boo-boo and them down the street starting stuff. I'm not mad. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to lift them up that they may be saved, that they may move forward in God, because we all know and that we should have no other gods before him. And I'm talking the little g's. You can't have the love of money before him. You can't have the political figure or this person or that person before him. You have folks that have put folks on pedestals before God. You got folks that are killed and died for people before God. Put your trust in the Most High. I put my trust in God. I trust all that he said he will do. Why? Because he loves me. And he wants the best for me. As Marvin says, Samson, he saw the best in me. When nobody else around could only see, when everybody else around could only see the worst in me. Hallelujah. God sees the best in us, knows our name as we know his name. You know my name. You know my every thought. You see me when I cry. You hear me when I cry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Israel Houghton and New Breed. I am grateful for God's love. And I'm going to put my trust in him. Hallelujah. Don't fear. Walk in faith. My daughter has a t-shirt that I think I have one too that says faith over fear. And it's a fierce little t-shirt. Faith over fear. I know I have a fear mask. You know, faith over fear. We got to say, I'm not walking in fear. I'm not walking in fear of COVID. I'm not walking in fear of anything. I have faith. My faith will sustain me over fear. We got to have mustard seed faith. We got to take that light that we have that God has given us and take it out from under those bushels and start putting your lights on the hill so folks can see the mighty works of the Father in you. Hallelujah. I am so grateful to my pastors and to our apostles. God sent an apostle, I can't even say it, but a powerful prayer warrior to our church. And we are in training. You know, we are in training to fight, training to lift up, training to be better leaders, teachers and ministers and pastors and deacons. And I am so grateful that God has given us this opportunity for training. And our training on last night, what we learned was how to be servants. How to be servants. John 13 is where we were coming from in our main part of our lesson. In so many other words, to tell us we must be servants of God. This is my job that I do. This is my assignment, to read his word. And I am so thankful that I am learning every morning. As you learn, I learn the word of God. And I just want to give a shout out again to Dr. Charles Stanley, Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming this year out of the New King James Version. And I can tell you, thank you, Dr. Stanley, for the life lessons and the questions. It makes you think, life examples. So join me as we get ready to move forward in our word this morning. We will be coming out of Leviticus chapter 17 through 18. And I know this is that word that all the folks like to quote about certain things. And we're going to talk about it. You know, if you got a word, if you want to bring it out, dial 213-943-3597. Again, the call-in number is 213-943-3597. And we can talk about it. Our main lesson title is coming out of Psalms chapter 27, verses 1 through 3, and Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. And our New Testament word this morning is Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 41. And I can tell you that is the end of Mark. Today we'll be finishing up Mark. But before we get started, I just want to do one shout out. Today is my granddaughter's 14th birthday. And so shout out to my girl, Kit Kat. Shout out to Caitlin. I am loving you. Thank you so much for being my granddaughter. I thank God for you. She is my running buddy, where she is my church girl. And I just call her, she is my little evangelist, because every time I turn around, I am driver for Caitlin. I am Caitlin's Uber driver, because I will get on Thursday for church. Oh, can you pick up? And eventually I had to get a bigger car. I had a little 5-seat, you know, SUV, and it was to the point where I was having kids in my trunk of my car, because I had so many kids I was picking up, and I'm like, I'm not trying to get a ticket for Caitlin. This Uber service is starting to get a little big, so I had to go and get a bigger car that seats 7, so I could accommodate all of the folks that she was inviting to church, and including my grandson in his car seat. But I am so proud of her. Straight A-plus student. And just won a Martin Luther King essay contest for Martin Luther King celebration last month. Just all around awesome young woman. And I know she is going to do great things. She's innately an entrepreneur, been making it since she was, I think, five years old, probably. You know, had the little loom. That's what she wanted one year for Christmas, and I bought her a loom, and the next thing I know, she was making bracelets and all kind of stuff, and I think I got her one of her loom bracelets, and I know I got a necklace and earrings that she's made me, and, you know, she's just an awesome young woman. So shout out to my granddaughter, and telling God how grateful I am that he gave me a desire in my heart, which is to be a grandparent. So thanking God, and thanking, you know, all of you again for listening in. Let's get in the word, because it is great. So for my folks out there that like to quote Leviticus, this is probably where you're coming from. So let's get started. But I want you to make sure that all of are listening and putting this word in context. And the word of God says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to his sons and to all the children of Israel, and say to them, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded, saying, whatever man of the house of Israel who kills an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or who kills it outside the camp, and does not bring it to the door of the tabernacle of meeting to offer an offering to the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, the guilt of bloodshed shall be imputed to that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people, to the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, that they may bring them to the Lord at the door of the tabernacle meeting, to the priest, and offer them as a peace offering to the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood on the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting, and burn the fat for a sweet aroma to the Lord. They shall no more demons after whom they have played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations. Also, you shall say to them, whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwells among you, who offers a burnt offering or sacrifice and does not bring it to the door of the tabernacle meeting to offer it to the Lord, the man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats the blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I'm saying that again. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what made atonement for all of our sins. Jesus paid it all. As the song says, all to him I owe. Hallelujah. Sin has cast a crimson stain, and he made it white as snow. We got to know what it means. This blood, it is for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 12. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall any stranger who dwells among you eat blood. Whatever man of the children of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who hunts animal or bird that may be eaten, he shall pour out its blood and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of all flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. And every person who eats what died naturally or what was torn by beasts, whether he is a native or of your country, your own country, or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Then he shall be clean. But if he does not wash them or bathe his body, then he shall bear his guilt. Ooh, completely God. And this is a life lesson for chapter 17. They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons. To serve and worship other gods, little g, is described as spiritual adultery, a detestable unfaithfulness both then and now. And adultery rouses an offended spouse's wrath. So adultery rouses the anger of God. Hallelujah. You better understand all these folks out there who worship people, put folks on up on pedestals, American idols. This is my this is my that, this is my. If you put things, people, places, and things above God, you better but understand that God is a jealous God and he does not play. When you wonder why you're going through some stuff, it's because you have put other things before God. You got to be careful. Leviticus 17 and 11. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul, for the life of human beings made in God's image. So Christ's blood had to be shed for the salvation of the whole world. And we'll check Romans chapter 3, 25, just giving you some scripture. Romans chapter 3, verse 25, Romans chapter 5, verse 9, Ephesians 1, verse 7, and Hebrews 9, 22. And we're going to run over to them, or go over to them real quick, because I don't want us to miss anything. This word is so rich this morning. That's all I can say. It is a rich, rich, good word. It's a great word. It just makes you hungry for more. It's that kind of word this morning. It's a make you hungry for more kind of word. And we're going to go over real quick to Romans chapter 3, verse 25. And it says, whom God sets forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. And if we go back up a little bit, we're going to go back up to verse 23, and it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, which we know that's a highlightable. being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Understand, it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Jesus is the blood. It was the blood of Jesus that made atonement for our soul, for our sin, so that we can be made whole. It is because of the blood of Christ. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5, verse number 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. And I'm getting it up. And it says this: much more that having now been justified by his blood, the blood of Jesus, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And if we go back up, because you know how I am about context, you know, Christ in our place. And it says, verse 6, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we have been saved his life. And verse 11, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We are blessed beyond measure, family, because of the sacrifice of our Savior. He died for you. He died for me. He died for us. And it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. That's Leviticus 17 and 11. And it is the blood of Jesus that atoned for us, that we don't have to go and find, as I said before, the unblemished ram, the unblemished lamb, the unblemished this and that and goat and pigeons and doves. And, you know, we don't have to do that. And this is a word from Ephesians 1 and 7. It says, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Whose grace? The grace of Christ our Savior, who died for me, who died for you, who died for us, and allowed us to be saved through his sacrifice, his blood. He didn't come for the righteous. Keep remembering that. He came for the sinner. Because none of us are perfect. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Chapter 9 of Hebrews, verse 22. And again, the mediator's death necessary is the title for that section. But I have a couple of highlightables in here. But I want to go back up to verse 20 before we go to verse 22. So again, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 20 through 22, and it says, saying this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Let me go back up. I want to go all the way back. We're going to go up to verse 18. Actually, go back to verse 16. And it says, where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while this tester lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. We know the first covenant was with God. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats, with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book. Well, remember that. We just, not too long, I think verse chapter 17, I think we read it in verse 15, 13 or 14 maybe 15. We just read about the hyssop and the scarlet and the sprinkling of blood. It might even have been in yesterday's lesson in 16. But it says, sprinkle both the book itself and the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled the blood, both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Just read this. I mean, this is all our lesson, y'all. In verse 22, which is where we're coming from, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. And then we're going to go over to Leviticus chapter 18, which we know is the quotable by many evangelicals and those that, you know, have something to say. And I'm going to tell you something. When you read this word, yourself in a reason. So let's get going. And it says in chapter 18 of Leviticus, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinance to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach anyone who is near of kin to him to uncover his nakedness. In other words, don't be having sex with your family members. I am the Lord. The nakedness of your father or the nakedness of your mother, you shall not uncover. She is your mother. You shall not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of your father's wife, you shall not uncover. It is your father's nakedness. The nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother, whether born at home or elsewhere, their nakedness you shall not, son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, their nakedness you shall not uncover, for theirs is their your own nakedness, the nakedness of your father's wife's daughter, begotten by your father, she is your sister. Did you hear that? You know, folks want to call somebody their step, so they can't. No, they're your sister. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. She is near of kin to your father. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister, for she is near of kin to your mother. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's brother. You shall not approach his wife. She is your aunt. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Nor shall you take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are near up to her. It is wickedness. In other words, we're talking incest. Better keep it. Ooh, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. Nor shall you take a woman as a rival to her sister to uncover her nakedness while the other is alive. That's them folks that, you know, you done messed around with the sister, but then you wind up marrying her sister to be your wife. What? It's in the Word. You know, I'm going to tell y'all, if you can think it, it's in the Word. If you can imagine it, it's in the Word. If you can see it on the television screen, you better believe it's probably in the Word. God, he thought of everything because he knows humanity. He knows that we are wicked. We can be sinners. The devil is busy. And any kind of perversion he can think of is what he's going to try to do. He's going to try to mess you up. And this is what the Word of God says. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is in her customary impurity. I don't even have to cover that. You already know. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile herself, yourself with her. adultery. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Moloch, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. And I know that's that word folks use, but it's in the word of God. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Not my words, not the words of the pastor, not the words of a brother such and such, a deacon such and such, but the word of God. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. That's not my words, but the word of God. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, for by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you. For the land is defiled, therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, either any of your own nation or any stranger who dwells among you, for all these abominations the men of the land have done. He said it. It's been done. He's not God. Everything that's in this word has been done, and it's being done. You know, unfortunately, it's being done. We all know this. Before you, thus the land is defiled, lest the land vomit you out. Also, were you defiled it as it vomited out the nations that were before you? For whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore, you shall keep my ordinances that you do not commit any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you do not defile yourselves by them. I am the Lord your God. That's a word. And now the word that is the title of our lesson today. Whew, I love this word. It just does something to my spirit. But first we're going to hit a life lesson from Leviticus 8 and 14. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinance to walk in them. I am the Lord your God. We are to be a distinct people who follow the ways of God rather than the ways of the ungodly. When we allow Jesus to live his life through us, we live in the holy way requires a word. I just thank Dr. Stanley. He is just showing out because the word, his life lessons are so on point this morning. And our word for this morning and the title of our lesson, the Lord is my light. Oh, I love Psalms 27:1. In my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though through war, the war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Go, David, you better speak it. Whew, hallelujah. So we have just read Psalms chapter 27, verses 1 through 3. And the life lesson is this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We don't need to be afraid of the dark when the Lord gives us his light. Hallelujah. Whose light does he give us? His light. The Lord gives us his light. Let this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hallelujah. We got to let our light shine for the Lord. And as we continue, it says this. We don't need to fear the power of enemies when we walk in the power of God's Spirit. Perfect love casts out fear. That means we are secure because we know God's perfect love protects us no matter what our circumstances may be. And we're going to go over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. And again, this whole little section plus our highlightables. Y'all know I am about the highlightable. And it just says this. Love, and this is 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 20. Actually, we're going to go all the way to 21 because I just love the word. And it says this, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Ah! Y'all, I'm all getting all giddy. I sound like my 14-year-old. You know, just getting all excited about the word. And then it goes on to say, if someone says, I love God, and hates, come on now, we're going to go there, hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Thank you, Lord. This is a word, y'all. I told y'all it was a word this morning. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Proverbs 10 and 9. And our New Testament word this morning, we're talking some more about faith, y'all, and about the light that is God. Hallelujah. 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 I told y'all was a word. Mark chapter 4, verses 21 through 41. And it says, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Can I tell you what's done in the dark will come into the light? Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. We talked about that. That was our title one day. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And if you hear more, will be given. For whoever has to hear more will be given. For whoever does not have, even that he has will have been taken away from him. Like this was all our word the other day, but we're going over it again. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the shekel, because the harvest has come. Parable, shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed. Come on, y'all, we talking faith. Woo, hallelujah. Which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all earth, and shoot out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. Hallelujah. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Hallelujah. We know he is the Lord. Hallelujah. Mark 4:38. Life lesson. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How often do we say things like this to our Lord when we get into some trouble? We question his love, not his ability. And yet, despite our lack of faith, he reaches out his hand and saves us. Hallelujah. Blessed beyond measure, family. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God. Whew. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We got to have that in our repertoire every day, because the enemy will bring fear against you. He will try to make you afraid that you're going to lose this and you're not going to have that and all these things. But we know that when we stand on the word sustains us on the word, and know that all things are working for our good. Because why? The word of God tells us so. Because we trust and believe in our Father God. And this is a life example from Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. And it says how adversity reveals a level of faith. When hardships come our way, do we respond, God, I trust you to bring me through this? Or do we tend to say, I'm doomed and there's nothing anybody can do? We got to put our trust in God. God once sent a storm on the Sea of Galilee to teach Jesus' disciples a lesson on faith. Jesus had said to his men, let us cross over to the other side. And they should have taken his statement as a sure sign that he expected a safe trip. But when a terrible windstorm threatened the boat, they panicked. The terrified disciples asked Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many times have we said the same thing? Care, Lord, that this is happening to me? Don't you love me enough, Lord, to do something about this hardship? Jesus rebuked the wind, and immediately a great calm settled on the lake. Then he turned to his disciples and said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Mark 4 and 40. God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. And we're going to go over to Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. And when we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, get it up here, and it says this, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. It's a spiritual gift. Hallelujah. God has given each of us a spiritual gift, but this one gift he's given to all of us. And that is faith. And this is what it says. We're going to read the whole section. And it says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We each have an assignment. Y'all know I love to say that because that's what God put in my spirit. We each have an assignment. And it says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them if prophecy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberally. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Hallelujah. What a word. I told y'all, anything you can think of or imagine, it is in the word. All you have to do is find it. And it goes on to tell us, and he expects us to use it to overcome our fear. Fear always accompanies adversity. In fact, a degree of fear is what makes something an adversity instead of just another experience. Fear causes us to project the very worst that can happen, that we will never recover, that all hope is lost, that we will never again enjoy some treasured things. Control, hallelujah. and that all things work together for our good. And we're going over there. That, you know, that's at Romans 8:28. I just spoke that word just a second ago. And all I can say, y'all, it is a great word this morning. God is good. He is so good. And we're going over to Romans 8:28. And we know all things are working for our good. That's one of our highlightables. You know, we got to have faith. But we got to know that the Lord is the light of our salvation and that we cannot walk in fear. We have to walk in faith. And that word, that Roman highlightable, y'all, that my one of my highlightables. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. Say it again. All things work together for the good of those who love God. There's a little thing you got to know. It's not all things working for my good. You got to love God. Come on now. To those who are called according to a little bit of editing going on, there's a little bit of what you got to do to get this is all things are working for my good. Why? Because I love God. And why? Because I'm called according to his purpose. When you put it into the context of what it goes into, yes, it tells us. Faith tells the opposite story. Faith says that God is in control and that all things work together for our good. But there's a part of it. Why? Because we love God and we are called according to his purpose. Come on. Faith says that we will recover and that our final state will be better than anything we have experienced thus far. Allow adversity to call your faith to action rather than into question. Adversity reveals areas in which you need to act. And when hard times come, say to yourself, now is the time to use my faith in a new way. The more you use your faith, the greater it grows. And I'm getting emotional. Because something I said in faith, believing and knowing, I am living and watching it happen right now. All I can say is God is so good. When we walk in faith, that some of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, God works miracles. He works miracles. All we have to do is have faith and believe that God's miracles are happening in our lives every day. Don't get tired of well-doing, family. Don't get tired of doing what God has called you to do. Do your assignment because everybody in the body of Christ has to do their function, just like in our own body. We know that the brain controls everything, which we know that our Father God is the brain of everything. He controls it all. Have an assignment. If you are a hand, do what your hand is supposed to do. If you're right-handed, use that hand to write. Hallelujah. If you're left-handed, use that hand to write. If you are a heart, pump the blood. Pump the blood through. If you are a liver, purify it. We each have an assignment, just like our body has assigned things that each body part does. We have our assignments. Do what you're called to do. If you are called to evangelize, you evangelize. If you are called to preach and teach, you preach and teach. If you are called to be an apostle, you set those ministries up to do what they're supposed to do for God. If you are the pastor, lead your flock. Hallelujah, whatever is yours. We work for God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? We cannot walk in fear. We walk in faith. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself. Because my scripture God has given me is to be strong and courageous. Hallelujah. I know Joshua 1. the whole Joshua chapter 1 is I stand on that word. When I'm going through, I go over to Joshua chapter 1. And that's what I read to get me through. Because I know that that word speaks to me. Hallelujah. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's God's word to me. Joshua 1 and 8. You shall meditate day and night, talking about the word of God, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. That's what God has given me, this assignment, to meditate on the word day and night. Come on now. And to observe it according to all that is written in it. And then my scripture that I stand on, this is, you know, everybody should have your scripture. My scripture is, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. I stand on the word of God. Hallelujah. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. We stand on God's word. I didn't mean to preach this morning, but I just, this word just did something to my spirit. We got to understand that God put Leviticus 18 in the word for a purpose and a reason. And I know there are those that talk about Christians like dogs because we stand on the word of God. But if you look at it, it's all about procreation. Create with an animal. A woman can't create with a woman. Man can't create. We create with a man. You're not supposed to be recreating with your family members because it becomes an abomination. You can't be having children with your daddy. Even though we know that lots of girls did it, it was still wrong. But again, the Lord had not given those laws yet. But when he gave these laws to the children of Israel, you got to stand on the word of God. And I'm sorry, I know that it's a private thing, what people do, but you still got to stand on the word of God. We got to stand on the word. And it's not trying to hurt anybody's heart, hurt anybody's feelings, or hurt anybody what they're doing. We stand on the word of God. I love you. I love you. Your lifestyle is between you and God. But when we stand on the word, that's what we got to do. God knows everything. He saw it thousands and thousands and billions and millions of years ago. God knows everything. Don't get it twisted. We can love each other. Again, Jesus said, I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the sinner. And that's what we do. We pray for each other, but we do it in love. You can't be hateful. Can't be hateful. And we have so much hatefulness in the church that folks that may be walking the wrong way don't want to come in there because they're hateful. And we pull up this, we love to pull up Leviticus 18 to hammer up people's upside the head, especially one or two verses. When, let's call it straight, some of the folks talking them one or two verses are doing, 1 through 19. Come on now. No, 1 through 21. They all up in 1 through 21 themselves, but the only thing they can pull out it's 18 and 22. Come on, you got to talk it. And I'm sorry, some of them are doing 23 all the way down. But yeah, when I pull out 22. But we better understand, God sees everything that you're doing. The fact that you committed adultery with your sister-in-law, that's in there too. Come on, got to call it all out. But let's get over to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. God never said that things would be fair or easy. Come on now. All up in the lesson, y'all. But he did promise that it will all work out for our good. Come on. Stand in faith, y'all. Have a word of God, Wednesday. Our sister is all on it. God gave her that word at 1:15 this morning. I didn't have mine at 1:15 this morning. I had no idea what I was going to be preaching on or teaching on. I knew the scriptures, but I didn't know what God would give me to have as our word today. We got to stand in faith. And remember, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? We have to have faith, family. Through our adversity, whatever we're going to, we got to have faith. And what did Jesus tell the disciples? But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And our sister said this morning, God never said that things would be fair or easy, but he did promise that it will all work out for your good. Did we not go over there? Hallelujah. Stand in faith and have a word of God, Wednesday family. For the Lord God is our strength. He loves us, cares about us, and he wants us to know that Romans 12:3 words, that God has given to each one of us a measure of faith. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. And we know Romans 8:28, that all things are working together for our good. Why? Because we love God. And we are called according to his purpose. Keep God first in everything that you do, family. And watch him work in your life. If God has given anybody a word this morning, now is the time to hit that one on your phone. And if not, we are ready to wrap it up today. And again, for those that know my baby girl, wish her a happy birthday. For she is a joy. She is my heart, and I love her dearly. So grateful to be a grandma. Hallelujah. So anyway, thank you so much, family. Be blessed and have a great day. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, walking in faith, not in fear, because the Lord is your light and your salvation. And whom shall you fear? No one. For the Lord is the strength of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid? No one. Hallelujah. And to make it personal, we just say together, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Trust, stand on the word, and know that God has got you covered. For he loves you like that. Hallelujah. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. It's time to celebrate. Hallelujah. Celebrate life. Celebrate joy. Celebrate peace. Celebrate love. Celebrate God. Have a wonderful day. And thank Jesus for his sacrifice. For he is the light of our life. Hallelujah. And the blood that sustains us. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.